This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So we ended off our last session with the dangers of shirk, right? Now, in this next session, we would like to know what is the importance of knowing shirk and what are some of the categories of shirk. طيب سو بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So the importance of knowing shirk lies in understanding a very fundamental principle, and that is that in order to appreciate any science or any knowledge, you have to see the fruit and the benefit that it gives. So thus you'll see that the most respected sciences in our times are the likes of becoming a doctor, becoming an engineer, and the likes of such sciences. And this is due to the fact that the many fruits that they have, like in being a doctor, you're able to, you know, grant cure to people or to prescribe medicines for them. And likewise in being an engineer, you have the ability to build houses and shelters and buildings. So you see that the fruits from these sciences are very great. Now, if you look at the science of knowing Tawheed and knowing Shirk, what are the fruits that they give? The science of Tawheed and Shirk, the fruits that they give is that they allow people to enter Jannah. It allows people to feel tranquility in this dunya and the akhirah, right? And it prevents a person from the hellfire. You learn how to save yourself from the hellfire by learning about Tawheed and Shirk. So you'll see that the science of Tawheed and Shirk has the greatest of fruits when compared to any other science, whether it be a dini science or a dunyawi science. That Tawheed and Shirk have the greatest of fruits, or the knowledge has the greatest of fruits, just based upon the fact that they are directly linked with Jannah and Jahannam. So we see in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-An'am, which is Surah number 6, Ayah number 55. Surah number 6, Ayah number 55. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ وَلِتَسْتَبِينَ سَبِيلُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, and this is how we clarify the signs so that the path of the sinners becomes clear. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and is explaining over here, that the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always talking about the mushrikeen and the munafiqeen and the kuffar in the Quran is so that their path may become clear, so that we may know what their methodology is all about. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't explain us this methodology and this path that they tread for the sake of just knowing it, but rather it is so that we may avoid it. And this is seen in the famous hadith of Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Right? He said that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they used to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the good. And I used to ask him about the evil for fear of falling into it. So the reason that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum asked about the evil was not so that they would tread that path or would just have some knowledge that, you know, they would keep in the back of their heads, but rather it was sought so that they may stay away from all this evil. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the mushrikeen and the munafiqeen and the kuffar in the Quran, it is so that us Muslims, the believers, can stay away from their methodologies and their actions and any other things or characteristics which are specific to them. And this is why we see the famous verses of poetry that one of the old Arab poets said. He said, عَرَفْتُ الشَّرَّ لَا لِلشَّرِّ وَلَكِن لِتَوَقِّيهِ وَمَنْ لَا يَعْرِفُ الْخَيْرَ عَنِ الشَّرِّ يَقَعْ فِيهِ. That he said, I learned evil not for the sake of knowing evil, but rather from staying away from it. But rather to stay away from it. For he who does not know good from evil is bound to fall into it. Subhanallah al-Azim. This poet, he said, that I learned evil not for the sake of knowing it, that I didn't learn it just for no purpose or reason at all, but rather I learned it for the sake of avoiding it. For he who does not distinguish between good and evil is bound to fall into it. Meaning that the person who doesn't know what is good and the person who doesn't know what is bad, he will eventually fall into bad and he won't even realize it. So this is why we learn about shirk, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may protect us from it, and we may protect ourselves from it, and we can distance ourselves from it. So this is one of the main reasons, or if not the main reason, that we're learning about shirk, so that we may stay away from it. So this is the importance of staying away from shirk. Now, one quick and last point we're going to take before Salatul Asr bi-Iznillahi ta'ala, and that is the categories of shirk. To quickly summarize the categories of shirk within the next 10 minutes bi-Iznillahi ta'ala, we mentioned that Tawheed and shirk are exact opposites, right? So the categories that exist in Tawheed likewise will exist in shirk. So quickly, who can tell me what are the categories of Tawheed? Anyone? No, we're talking about... what are the categories of Tawheed? We're asking the categories of Tawheed. Into any that you like. Okay. Okay, so the categories of Tawheed are either divided into two or three. We said there is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, which is the Lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one in His actions. And then secondly, we have Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, which is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is deserving of all of our worship. And thirdly, is the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Asma' wa Sifat, or the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you categorize Tawheed into two categories, and both of them are permissible, then you have Al-Ma'rifati wal-Ithbat, which is the knowledge and affirmation. So there's no physical action pertaining to it. So this is when you combine Tawheed al-Rububiyyah with the Tawheed of Asma wa Sifat. And this is called Al-Ma'rifati wal-Ithbat, the knowing and affirmation. And then Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah in this categorization is called Tawheed al-Qasdi wa-Talab, the Tawheed of something that you desire and seek, right? So it is referring to the actions. So now, these are the categorizations of Tawheed. So for every category of Tawheed, you will have the same category of Shirk. So you will have Shirk in Rububiyyah, you will have Shirk in Uluhiyyah, and you will have Shirk in Asma wa Sifat. Now let's take some of the ways that Shirk occurs in Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. So now the next several points I'm mentioning or how shirk occurs in Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. So shirk in Rububiyyah can take place by denial. Okay? And denial occurs in one of three ways. Okay? So try to keep track of this. So you'll put shirk in Rububiyyah, then you'll put point number one, which is shirk in denial. And then A is one of the ways that denial occurs. So, shirk in Rububiyyah 1a is that you deny that there is a creator. And you will see that this is what the atheists have done. That they followed the footsteps of Fir'aun. That when Fir'aun was asked about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or was asked about Rabbul Alameen, he goes, وَمَا رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ? And what is Rabbul Alameen? Or who is Rabbul Alameen? You know, meaning that who can there be other than myself? This is what he was referring to. So when the atheists say that there is no creator, they're following the footsteps of Fir'aun. So they're denying the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is known as shirk in denial. So shirk 1b would be denying the perfect existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what this means is that by denying all of Allah's names and attributes, one actually denies Allah's lordship, even if the person in doing so verbally acknowledges the existence of God. And what this means is that you will find in various groups in our times and in the present and in the past that they denied the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that they would say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman biduni rahma, that He is the most merciful, but He possesses no mercy. And obviously you'll see that logically that makes no sense whatsoever. So they denied the perfect existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That they would say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ar-Rahman, but he doesn't have the attribute of mercy. So this is just an example. So they exist, they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists, but not in a perfect manner. And then thirdly, a third way that they denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that they denied the rights that he is entitled to by his perfection. Right? So then you will find those groups and some of the leaders of the past, the likes of Ibn al-Arabi, Ibn Arabi and al-Hallaj and Ibn Sina. All these people claimed a concept of Wahdatul Wujud. And Wahdatul Wujud is that they claimed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is everything and everything is Allah, meaning that Allah is everywhere. So if you were to say, is Allah in the toilet? They would say, yes, Allah is in the toilet. وَعَيَاذًا بِاللَّهِ. That is not, you know, it's not befitting to say this of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they denied the rights that are entitled to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a sanctity. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a sanctity that you can't attribute anything evil or bad to him. Right? So when you say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in the toilet and the likes of that, then you are not granting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that right to sanctity that he has. So now that was the, you know, shirk in rububiyyah. One, which was shirk in denial. Then we had A, B, and C under it. Now we're going to shirk in rububiyyah. This is number two. It's called shirk in affirmation. Now we mentioned previously that shirk in rububiyyah, in terms of affirmation, is something which is very, very rare, right? And what we mean by that is you will not find people who claim that there is another person who controls the earth, or another person who controls the rotation of the sun and the moon, or someone else who sends down the rain other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether he be Jewish, Christian, or anything else, they all affirm that there is one sole creator and sustainer. Everyone affirms this. Yet you will find the odd case that will say, yes, there is someone else who sends down the rain, or there is someone else who controls good and evil. And from the examples of them are the Zoroastrians. The Zoroastrians claimed that there are two creators, the creator of good and the creator of evil. Right? So this is shirk in rububiyyah, that they claimed that one of their gods, which was called Ahriman, was the creator of good. And then the other god that they had, Ahura Mazda, was the creator of evil. So these, they separated rububiyyah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they affirmed partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's with great sadness that you will see that even some of the sects that attribute themselves to Islam, the likes of the Shia and the extreme and heretical mystics and ascetics, they have fallen into this evil sin as well. And the way they fell into it is that we know of the famous group of the Shia that believe in the 12 Imams. And they said that their 12 Imams, they have knowledge of the unseen, or they have a version of the Quran which is complete, or that their Imams are able to control life and death. So this is how they fell into shirk in rububiyyah. And same thing with those heretical mystics, that they claimed that their leaders was from the awliya of Allah and they had knowledge of the unseen. So this likewise was shirk in affirmation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I thought we'd be able to finish the other two categories pertaining to shirk in uluhiyya and asma wa sifat, but it seems that the time of Salatul Asr has come upon us. So we'll stop over here, and inshallah after Salah we'll finish with the categorizations of shirk. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam, wa barik ala nabiyyana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So after Salah we'll have food, and then we'll continue. So approximately around 7:30, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I know.
I hope you use your break to make wudu or to use the washroom. Because otherwise now you're going to line up.